Thank you, Heather. As Heather mentioned, our video recording equipment is very basic. If you get a chance to be in the building, you'll see we have a cell phone on a tripod. We operate Facebook. We click the live video button. And if any of that fails, including our internet, we lose our broadcast as we've done the last few services. But I want to mention on our website, 3milewest.com, that's the number 3, 3milewest.com, all of our Sunday messages are recorded there. We have usually the audio and the video combined, but for the last week we just have the audio. But we always have the audio. We have this wonderful audio device. Just want to remind everybody of our website as well. So good morning to all our folks and all the folks watching online. I had an opportunity a few weeks ago to finish a three-part series from the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And our goal in that sermon series was to answer the question, who is this Jesus? We spent 3 weeks on that. Today, we want to answer a different question. This is a question that's being asked both by friends and also foes of Christianity. And the question we want to address today is this, did Jesus actually claim to be God? So the title of my message today is this question, did Jesus claim to be God? And then, unlike in most sermons, I'm going to answer the question right away. You see, as it turns out, we have reliable records that give us the answer to that question. The answer is yes, Jesus definitely claimed to be God. The good news is we have written for us the words of Jesus in four gospel accounts. We have four authoritative gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell us exactly what Jesus said, plus how his enemies at his time, how they interpreted what he said, and how they responded. And I'll mention this, Bible critics who rarely, by the way, actually ever read the Bible in context, if at all, Bible critics can do a Google search and confirm that Jesus never spoke these three words, quote, I am God, end quote. And this is the argument that you'll hear from Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses and many others who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. This is a popular argument today for people who are looking for any reason and every reason to discredit our Lord and Savior. After all, they say, Jesus often referred to himself as the Son of Man, as we learned a few weeks ago. We've seen that in our recent study on Jesus. It is true that the Bible does not record Jesus using this phrase, these three words, quote, I am God. He did not say those three words in that sequence. But does that mean that Jesus never claimed to be God? Again, we have the Word of God to authoritatively answer that very question. That's the question we're going to answer today. So when I started writing the sermon, the very first Bible story that came to my mind was the story of Jesus healing the paralyzed man. This is the story where a paralytic was so desperate to get a touch from Jesus to heal his body, but because the crowds were so great, this poor man was not able to get anywhere near him. So in response to this problem, the paralyzed man's friends came up with an innovative solution. We're going to read about this. And this story is recorded in all four Gospels. The story revealed the power that Jesus had to heal people who were in desperate situations. But the healing is only the minor part of the story. So let's read it together. It's in Luke chapter 5. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Luke chapter 5. And I'll begin reading in verse 17. Luke 5, verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Verse 21. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And I want to pause just for one moment here. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, these guys were the highest religious leaders in the Jewish community. Until Jesus came, there was no higher human authority. No one could dispute what they had decided regarding biblical matters. And what are these guys saying? They're saying, Jesus, you can't say to someone that their sins are forgiven. You can't say that. Only God can forgive sins. I have to say, they were partially correct. They were partially correct. They were wrong that Jesus could not say that, but they were right that only God can forgive sins. They got that part right. I want you to listen to the response Jesus gives them in verse 22. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." The story of Jesus healing the paralyzed man is an awesome story of healing. But it's so much more than that. As the religious leaders were thinking, you know, basically telling Jesus, "Hey, only God can forgive sins," Jesus shows them two truths. One, not only does he have the power to miraculously heal, which is something only God can do, but number two, he also has the power to forgive sins, which is something only God has the power to do. So does Jesus use the phrase, quote, "I am God" in this story? No. No, he doesn't specifically say those words in that order, but Jesus clearly demonstrates that he possesses the power of God in both healing and forgiveness. And that story was not the first time that the Pharisees and the religious leaders got angry at Jesus. And I want everybody to listen to the dialogue between Jesus and some angry, unbelieving Jews in John chapter 8. If you want to flip over to John chapter 8, Jesus describes the connection between himself and God the Father. But as you might have guessed, the Pharisees don't want to hear it. This is a bit of a long dialogue in John chapter 8, but I want us to pay attention to what Jesus says about himself. John chapter 8, I'll begin reading in verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Verse 14, Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Verse 19. Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Verse 21. Once more Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." Verse 22. This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will indeed die in your sins. Verse 25. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but He who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from Him I tell the world. Verse 27. They did not understand that He was telling them about His Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him. Even as He spoke, many believed in Him. Jesus is about to go into some specifics about the Jews that were hating Him. We'll see that in a moment. But we hear Jesus saying that He is the light of the world. He's saying He's sent by the Father. He says He's not from this world. He says He always acts to please the Father. Let's continue listening to Jesus in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Verse 34. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Verse 39. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God Himself. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And now it's about to get real nasty. Jesus had just called these hypocritical religious leaders, He called them sons of the devil. But don't miss this key point. Here again, we hear Jesus claiming He is sharing truth that was given to Him by God the Father. Jesus claims again He was sent to earth directly by God the Father. Let's continue in verse 48 as this dialogue gets even more heated up. Verse 48. The Jews answered Him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? Verse 49. I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. Verse 52. At this they exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Verse 54. Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Verse 57. You are not yet 50 years old, they said, and you have seen Abraham? Verse 58. Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. The Jews have just launched the most hateful, the most despicable accusation possible towards Jesus. They looked him right in the eye and said, "Hey man, you are beyond crazy. You are demon-possessed." They had the audacity to accuse Jesus, the one who repeatedly performed miracle after miracle to heal people, to raise the dead. They actually accused him of being possessed by a demon. It does not get any more disrespectful than that. Jesus again claims his connection to God the Father, but the Jews are losing their minds. And what was the straw that broke the camel's back? Jesus told them, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus claims his pre-existence in eternity past. That's something only God can claim, by the way. And the Jews knew it. Jesus used that phrase, I am. And the Jews knew exactly where that phrase came from. That's a sacred name used by God himself. A reference way back in the book of Exodus, where Moses encounters God. In Exodus 3 verse 13, Moses asks God, he says, Lord, when the people of Israel ask me, when they ask me who you are, when they ask me what your name is, what do I tell them? God responds in the very next verse, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. You know, we sing songs in our church about the great I am. And this, you know, this is a common name of God, the great I am. Here's Jesus saying, I am. He's using those sacred words. He's clearly defining himself as God. And the Jews had no doubts that that's what he was saying, because they were ready to stone him for what they considered to be blasphemy. I think there's another miracle that just happened here. The Jews tried to stone Jesus. He's standing right in front of them. And he slips away. He slipped away. He's in the temple grounds. Where is he going to hide? He slipped away. I believe that's another miracle. Why did he slip away? Because it wasn't his time to die yet. It wasn't his time yet. You know, and there's a similar story a few chapters later in John chapter 10. Again, I want you to listen to the connection that Jesus claims between himself and God the Father. John chapter 10, I'll begin reading in verse 24. John 10:24. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Verse 25. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Verse 31. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? Verse 33. We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. You can see once again, there's no doubt in the minds of Jesus' enemies on the spot. There was no doubt in their minds that he was claiming to be God. They're they're so incensed by this thought that this human standing in front of them was God. They were so angry at this that they were willing to murder Jesus right on the spot. But as before, Jesus miraculously slipped away from them. Jesus said the words, "I and the Father are one." It's pretty obvious to any clear-thinking person that Jesus is claiming to be God. How can you spin that any other way? And as we said earlier today, we hear a lot of modern skeptics saying, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. He never said that. But his enemies, Jesus' enemies in his days, they sure believe that's exactly what he was saying. And there's a lot more where that came from. There's more evidence that Jesus indeed claims to be God. In John chapter 5, Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath. Healing on the Sabbath. Whoa, 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 says the Jewish religious leaders. That's a bridge too far, doing quote-unquote work. Doing work on the Sabbath. Whoa, Saturday is supposed to be a day of rest. And here's Jesus breaking the Sabbath. Healing somebody. He's doing work when he's not supposed to. John 5 verse 18. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. There it is again. Jesus told the people, if you want to be right with God the Father, then you need to be right with God the Son. Verse 22, Jesus says, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Verse 24, Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And as we said before, we hear Jesus use this phrase, Son of Man, when he describes himself. We hear him say this phrase, Son of Man, a lot. But in these verses, he calls himself Son of God. He actually says Son of God. And there's no way you can spin this. Jesus repeatedly claims to be God. And I won't go into a lot of detail. Here are some other Bible passages that confirm this truth. Matthew 11, 27, Jesus said, all things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. In this passage, here's Jesus claiming again a shared knowledge between himself and God the Father. Matthew 16, 16, when Jesus asked Peter who he is, Peter correctly says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus confirms that Peter is correct, and not only that, he tells Peter that answer came directly from God the Father to you. Again, there's that shared knowledge between God the Father and God the Son. Mark 14, verse 61, Jesus says to the high priest, you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. And as we learned a few weeks ago, that's a reference back to Daniel chapter 7. That's the words of God. And then John 1, 3, as we saw about a month ago, John 1, 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. John clearly describes Jesus as creator. And there's only one creator. That creator is God. It is abundantly obvious that all of the New Testament writers believe that Jesus is God. And in our study on the Gospel of John, we learned that was John's biggest point. Jesus is many things, but most importantly, Jesus is God. It's critical that we understand and believe who Jesus is. And you might be asking, why? Why is it so critical? Why is it so important for me to understand and believe that Jesus is God? And the answer is, your eternal destiny hinges on what you believe about Jesus. That's the answer. Please listen to me carefully. Believing that Jesus was a learned philosopher is not enough. What a great message, right? Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Right? That's the golden rule. That's amazing. What a great motto to live by, right? But I'm here to tell you, it's not enough to follow the golden rule. Believing Jesus was an inspired teacher is not enough. Simply following the teachings of Jesus will not get you into heaven. Believing that Jesus was a great man, a great leader, a great public speaker, a man who challenged the norms of his day. It's not enough. Believing that Jesus was just a man in touch with God is not enough. And this is a common false teaching that we've discussed before. False teachers will tell you, Jesus was just a man who was in tune with God. And you can be a man that's in tune with God. And there's where they take Scripture out of context. They'll say, remember what Jesus said? He said, you would do greater things than I've done. So that must mean that if we're in tune with God, just like Jesus was in tune with God, then we can be just like Jesus. That's a false teaching. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. There is no one like Jesus. It's not enough. The Bible teaches that Jesus is God. Believing in that truth is what secures our eternal destiny in heaven. I'm going to read again the most famous Bible verse along with the next two verses so that it's clear to us why it's so critical that we understand and believe who Jesus is. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Our question this morning was this: did Jesus actually claim to be God? The answer is a definitive yes. The entire Bible points to Jesus as God the Son. And the plan of salvation is quite simple. God the Father sent God the Son to die, to endure the penalty for our sins, to pay a price that we could never pay. And all we have to do to receive forgiveness of our sins is to repent and believe God. And I try to end most of my sermons with the good news of the gospel, because we never know who's going to hear it on any particular Sunday. We never know who's going to listen to a message, you know, years from now, you know, going back to hear a message. We don't know who's going to hear this. But if anyone hearing my voice wants to be right with God, please understand that you can't get there by being a good person. If you want to be right with God, you can't get there by passively standing around the people of God and hoping to gain some special knowledge through osmosis. It doesn't work that way. If you want to be right with God, you can't get there because your grandparents were Christians. If you want to be right with God, you can't get there by having good church attendance. Every single person needs to understand and believe that Jesus is God the Son. Every single person needs to believe that Jesus died in order to satisfy the wrath of a holy and just God. For anyone who believes, the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. And to be right with God, that sin must be spiritually extracted from us. And I use that word spiritually because there's absolutely no way to do that in the natural. We can't be right with God in the natural. This is why we need a supernatural Savior. The only way to have your sins removed and to escape judgment for those sins is by trusting God's plan of salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. That's John 14:6. It matters what you believe about Jesus. False teachers will tell you that Jesus never claimed to be God. Those teachers are either lying to you or they are themselves deceived. No one could possibly reach the conclusion that these guys are teaching by picking up your Bible and reading it. You would never come to those false conclusions by reading the Bible. And as we close this morning, I want to issue a challenge to everyone hearing my voice. If you're not a believer, if you don't know Jesus, then I challenge you to read the Bible for yourself, to find out who Jesus is and what He did for you. I'll even say, don't take my word for it. Go right to the Word of God, find out for yourself. Compare God's Word to what you've heard in your life. Compare God's Word to what you think you know. Compare God's Word to what your granddaddy taught you years ago. Ask yourself, is it possible that Jesus is who He says He is? Is it possible? It's critically important that you know Jesus. So what about everybody else? What about the Christians that are hearing my voice? I have a challenge for you as well. Do people hear you say that you believe Jesus is the Son of God? The one who died for your sins, the one deserving of all your praise and honor? Do they hear it? Do people in your inner circle know that you're a born again Christian? Do they know you're a believer? Or do you act like a closet Christian? Jesus told us that we are the light of the world. And you may be the only light that your friends ever see. Do they know what you know? Do they know Jesus the way that you know Jesus? Contrary to what the world may tell you, your faith is not, I repeat, is not a private matter. Your faith is not something to be quiet about. Your faith is not something to put up on a shelf because you're worried that people might be offended. If you sheepishly respond to these questions with the wrong answers, I'm going to say, today is the day to turn it around. Today is the day. Do it today. And I challenge everyone today, if you don't know Jesus, today is the day of salvation. And if you are a Christian, I challenge Christians today to be bold in their faith. I challenge Christians today to be unafraid in their convictions. I challenge Christians today to be unwavering with the truth of God's Word to the person of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ has been silent for far too long. It is time for us to boldly declare what we know to be true. Amen? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is sovereign God. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we are in awe of You. And Lord, we are so grateful You have preserved Your Word for us. Thousands of years after Jesus walked this earth, we have the words of Jesus recorded for us. Father, we know that He boldly declared Himself to be God. Lord, we uplift the name of Jesus Christ in this church and in our lives, God. Father, You told us one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of You, Father, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we desire to glorify You as we glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's anyone hearing My voice that doesn't know You, Father, may You put a conviction in their hearts that today is the day of salvation. God, thank You for Your truth. Thank You for Your Word. Father, thank You so much for all that You're doing in our lives. But God, we thank You so much for Your mercy and Your grace. Your mercy is eternal. Your grace is infinite. Father, we thank You for saving us from our sins. We praise You, Lord, in Jesus' name.